The headlines this hour. Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki's coalition is set to win Iraqi polls as the turnout stands at 62%. Israel authorizes the building of 112 new apartments in the West Bank after promising a 10-month pause in settlement activity there. And Interpol issues arrest warrants for 16 suspects of the assassination of a Hamas leader in Dubai. Hello everyone and welcome to the news here on Press TV. Iraq's electoral body says over 62% of eligible voters have cast ballots in Sunday's parliamentary elections. This, as early forecasts suggest, the Premier's bloc is the front-runner. Well, estimates from across the country show Nouri al-Maliki's State of Law Alliance is ahead in Shiite majority regions. Reports say Maliki's list looks like heading for 100 seats in the 320-seat parliament. According to the initial estimates, Maliki's main challenger is the former Premier's coalition, Iraqiya. Official final results are not due until March 18th and will have to be approved by the country's Supreme Court. Iraqis came out to vote despite the election day violence, which claimed at least 38 lives. Well, Iran's foreign ministry has congratulated Iraqi people for their massive turnout in Sunday's vote despite threats and violence. In a statement released on Monday, Iran's foreign ministry said Iraqi people had proven that the will of the nation could determine its fate despite outsiders' plots. It also praised the turnout as an act of great bravery that could help improve democracy in Iraq. The Iranian ministry has vowed support for the Iraqi government and people and called the parliamentary vote a turning point in Iraqis' fight against occupation and dictatorship. Now, Israel has authorized the building of 112 new apartments in a settlement in the West Bank. This comes as U.S. Middle East envoy George Mitchell holds talks with acting Palestinian Authority chief Mahmoud Abbas in Ramallah. The focus of the visit is to discuss the so-called peace talks between Israel and Palestine. Here's more.
U.S. Middle East envoy George Mitchell began on Monday his meetings with the Palestinian officials in a bid to officially announce resumption of the so-called peace negotiations. Mitchell's meeting with acting PA chief Mahmoud Abbas in Ramallah comes after the PLO endorsed U.S.-mediated Israeli-Palestinian indirect talks. Palestinian officials say the talks should be limited to 4 months. Following the meeting, Sabah Raqqad, chief Palestinian negotiator, told the press there won't be direct talks with the Israelis unless the settlement's activities are completely stopped.
We cannot tolerate that each time we have discussions on peacemaking, that the Israeli government tenders more settlements, more incursions, more provocations, more fait accompli policies, which all put a big question marks at what is it that we're trying to do.
Under heavy U.S. pressure, Israel agreed in November to a temporary and partial pause in building. But in February, it was revealed that work had been continuing in many settlements, despite the promise of a pause. Just hours before U.S. Envoy George Mitchell left Ramallah, Israel authorized the building of 112 new apartments in a settlement close to the West Bank city of Bethlehem. Palestinians say this announcement will place strain on the already fragile agreement to talk. Most of the Palestinian factions, including the Islamic Hamas movement, which runs the Gaza Strip, rejected the talks.
Israel will be the only beneficiary of these talks, as it will use them to cover up its atrocities. These indirect negotiations will be useless since similar talks between Syria and Israel have failed in the past.
Experts believe the Palestinian Authority was pressured by both the U.S. and Israel to go back to the negotiations table.
The U.S. threatened the Palestinian Authority to cut funds if it does not accept to resume talks. I believe the only thing that will benefit the Palestinians is to restore national unity and announce the total failure of peace talks.
With yet no clear date of its first round, the proximity talks are expected to be launched during U.S. Vice President Joe Biden's 3-day trip to the region starting Wednesday.
Last week, the Arab League foreign ministers gave the green light to acting PA chief Mahmoud Abbas to jumpstart indirect talks with the Israelis. Their support, however, is conditional on talks lasting 4 months. Otherwise, the issue should go to the United Nations Security Council. Sari Al-Khalili, Press TV, Ramallah.
Well, Israel says it would facilitate a visit to the besieged Gaza Strip by UN Secretary-General Ban Ki-moon and EU Foreign Policy Chief Catherine Ashton. Israel's Foreign Ministry statement says the authorization came in response to a request by Ban and Ashton. The statement did not specify when the two leaders might visit Gaza. Israel barred a delegation of European MPs from traveling to the coastal strip last December. Irish Foreign Minister Michael Martin was the first European diplomat who managed to get in via Egypt last month. Following the visit, Martin called the Israeli blockade of Gaza inhumane and unacceptable. Well, our Palestinians have urged both Fatah and Hamas to reconcile ahead of the upcoming Arab League summit in Libya at the end of March. Press TV's Yusuf Al-Hadou reports from Gaza.
Hamas Prime Minister Ismail Haniyeh met with representatives of some Palestinian factions in Gaza on Monday to discuss with them the latest developments, especially the National Reconciliation with Fatah movement. This meeting comes ahead of the upcoming Arab League summit scheduled to be held in Libya at the end of March. One of the key issues to be discussed in the summit is ways of ending the division between the rival Palestinian movements of Fatah and Hamas.
This meeting is one of a series of meetings between Palestinian factions to discuss the ways out of the current split. We are in favor of national dialogue and would like to sit down at one table and reach reconciliation, which is our goal.
The representatives of Palestinian factions expressed their objection to the decision of Arab foreign ministers in Cairo last week to back indirect peace talks between Israel and the Palestinian Authority for a four-month period.
We totally reject the decision of Arab ministers to resume the so-called peace process because this decision will encourage our enemy to practice its occupation policy against our people and against our holy Islamic sites.
In another development, a group of artists gathered in Gaza City to draw a painting to urge both Fatah and Hamas to end the prolonged division.
We use art as a tool to urge our brothers in both factions to reconcile. We hope to see a light at the end of this dark tunnel. Unity is a common cause for all Palestinians, and in order to achieve it, concession must be made.
Ordinary Palestinians who are badly affected by the division and the ongoing Israeli siege have urged both factions to put their national interests above their factional considerations in order to face external problems. Yusuf Al-Hilo, Press TV, Gaza.
International police agency Interpol has issued 16 new arrest notices over the assassination of a Hamas official in Dubai. After a request by Dubai authorities, Interpol has issued warrants to assist in the arrest of the additional suspects linked to the murder of Mahmoud Al-Mabhouh. It brings to 27 the number of suspects on Interpol's wanted list. The Interpol believes suspects carried out their mission using false British, Irish and French passports. Israel's spy agency Mossad is accused of being behind the death of Mabhouh. He was found dead at a Dubai hotel in January. Dubai police had earlier urged Israel to hand over the suspects. Now, a U.S. drone strike has killed 5 alleged militants and wounded 3 others in northwestern Pakistan. The attack took place in North Waziristan's town of Miranshah. CIA-operated drones in Pakistan have launched numerous attacks on civilian areas in the past year. Washington claims it's only targeting militants, but hundreds of people have been killed in the strikes. Islamabad has repeatedly condemned the attacks, saying they violate Pakistan's sovereignty. U.S. Defense Secretary Robert Gates is on a visit to Afghanistan to discuss the recent U.S. operation in Helmand Province and other future operations against the militants.
U.S. Secretary of Defense Robert Gates arrived in Afghanistan on Monday morning on an unannounced visit with a warning that very hard days are ahead in this country.
There is still much fighting ahead, and there will assuredly be more dark days. But looking forward, there are grounds for optimism as our countries pursue what President Karzai has called an Afghan-led an Afghan-owned initiative.
The U.S. Defense Secretary Robert Gates also visited Kabul to get an update on the recent U.S.-led operation around the town of Marja in southern Helmand province. He hailed this offensive as a successful step to weaken the Taliban grip on southern parts of the country. This is Gates' first visit to Afghanistan since President Barack Obama's surge of 30,000 forces began arriving in the country last December.
The most pressing matter we discussed was the major operation President Karzai approved in Helmand Province, where Afghan and international troops have succeeded in clearing almost all of Marja.
The U.S. military is now planning to launch another operation in Kandahar, birthplace of Taliban, in the coming months. The defense chief said Marja would be a model of sorts for the U.S. North Atlantic Treaty Organization and Afghan commanders planning future operations in southern Afghanistan, including the one in Kandahar. Many of the U.S. reinforcements that will stream into Afghanistan in coming months will take part in the Kandahar push. But experts say such operations will make the Taliban more aggressive.
These operations carried out by the U.S. cannot be effective on Taliban.
Preparations for another operation come as Hamid Karzai has publicly invited senior Taliban leaders to attend a peace conference later this spring in a bid to persuade militants to lay down their weapons and take part in Afghanistan's political process. That initiative was backed by the U.S. and its allies. Since the recent operation began, the casualties of the NATO and U.S. forces have gone up. On Monday, the NATO's death toll reached 116 this year after two more of its soldiers were killed in Helmand. Most of these soldiers have been killed by improvised explosive devices or IEDs, the biggest killer of the foreign troops in Afghanistan.
But people here say that sending more troops to the country will only deteriorate the situation and defers any hope of peace and stability in this country. Faiz Khurshid, Press TV, Kabul.
Now, a spokesman for the Afghan president says Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad's proposed trip to Kabul will go ahead as planned. Siyama Karavi has dismissed reports by a number of media outlets that Ahmadinejad's trip would be delayed. The trip will be Ahmadinejad's first visit to Afghanistan since he was re-elected as Iran's president last June. He is expected to meet with Afghan officials on Wednesday to discuss bilateral ties, the fight against terrorism, the fight against terrorism and regional security will also be on the agenda. And watching the news here on Press TV, a recap of the headlines this hour. Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki's coalition is set to win Iraqi polls as the turnout stands at 62%. Israel authorizes the building of 112 new apartments in the West Bank after promising a 10-month pause in settlement activity there. And Interpol issues arrest warrants for 16 suspects of the assassination of a Hamas leader in Dubai.